Turn with me this evening to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Amen. We pray everybody's having a good week. Amen, that you're able to stay inside as much as possible. It was hot today. Amen, and humid. But it feels good in the house of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for air conditioning. Thank the Lord for faithful people that are giving so that we can pay the air conditioning bill. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Amen. Let's pray. And let's ask for God's anointing here tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word that's already anointed, God. But we ask that you would anoint it to every heart, to every mind, and to every need that's represented, Lord God. Give us ears to hear your voice, Lord, to hear your word and to apply it to our lives, God. God, we'll be sure to give you all the thanks. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you can be seated this evening. Amen. This verse that we read, and there were so many different directions that we could go from this verse, but I want to talk about things that we desire, or diligence that the Apostle Paul was speaking about here. There are a lot of things in this world that we can desire. Amen. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some can even get to the point of being fanatical. Amen. We hear that word fanatical, and that's where we shorten it to the word fan. Whenever we talk about sports, whenever we talk about entertainment type things, we talk about fans. Amen. And fans are just short for fanatics. Amen. It's something that they desire. When I looked up the word fanatical in the dictionary, I found two definitions that I thought were very fitting. The first one is filled with excessive and single-minded zeal. Amen. That's fitting, all right. And then the second one is obsessively concerned with something. Amen. I believe both definitions describe that word pretty well. The origin of the word fanatic, if you look it up, comes from the Latin fanaticus. And that means mad or inspired by a deity. I thought that was interesting. Inspired by a deity. Inspired, and we're not going to go into all of that, but if you look up the word wind or breath, when you talk about the Holy Ghost, it talks about the breath and the wind, and that's actually another term for inspired. Praise God. So when you're fanatical, it's all that you think about. That's it. That's all your mind is focused on. When you're fanatical about something, that's all that you can focus on. Amen. You can have other distractions and things can come your way, and it's easy for you to brush them aside because you've got your mind focused on that one thing. Amen. It's something that you're obsessed with. Amen. It's something that you just have to have, or if you have it, you've got to have more of it. Amen. You just can't get enough. Amen. Drug addicts fiend for their next high. Amen. They fiend for that next thrill, that next high, and then eventually the drug maybe that they're using isn't enough, so they go to something stronger and more powerful because they're searching for something deeper. They're searching for more of what they have. Alcoholics can begin to tremble and shake until they get their next drink. I mean, I've seen this. I've seen people that they get the tremors, they call them, whenever they don't have a drink of alcohol for an extended period of time. Amen. People who smoke or use some form of tobacco can get headaches or have other physical issues if they don't get their nicotine fix. Amen. You could say that these people are fanatical about these things, because it's all that their mind can focus on. It's all that they can think about through the course of the day. And it's not just these vices. Amen. You could plug in just about anything into this list of things that people desire. Amen. amen, entertainment. I'm not going to go into it. You plug in whatever you think about. Amen. Whatever it is that you think about the most throughout the course of the day, that's what you're fanatical about. That's what you're obsessed with. And you may say, well, Brother Reed, I think about a bunch of different stuff. I don't just think about one thing. Amen. But what's the one thing that you think about more than anything in the course of your day? Is it your job? Amen. Is it money? Is it your home? Whatever you want to plug in there. Amen. Whatever it is, we've got to have it. We've got to think about it. We've got to make it better. We can't live without it. It's important to us. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, we are going to get what we desire. Amen. And I know that there's nobody here that has issues with drugs or with alcohol, and you're not fiending right now because you can't get a hold of them. Amen. But there are people and there are things that we desire, amen, that will distract us and that will pull us away from God. I want to ask us today, how bad do we want God? How bad? How bad do we want the will of God? Amen. And I'm not talking just the general will of God, and that's important. But how badly do you want the specific will of God for your particular life? Amen. Because God has a specific will for every person in this house tonight. Amen. Whether you've found that yet or not, God has a specific will for your life. Amen. And He has a desire for you to go in that direction. Amen. I want to ask us, how bad do we want that? How bad do we want God? How bad do we desire His will? Do we want it bad enough to fight for it? Amen. Do we desire it enough to fiend for it or to be fanatical about it? Amen. Does it affect us physically or mentally when we haven't felt the presence of God in any length of time? Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when I go a long period of time and I can't feel the presence of God. I begin to look at myself. I begin to turn my eyes inward and say, God, what is it inside of me? What is it that I've got inside of me? What is it that I'm doing that's not pleasing unto You? Because I've got to feel Your presence. And more than feel Your presence, I've got to be saved. Amen. Does it affect us? Are we willing to pay the price no matter what it costs? Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 5, turn there with me this morning, this evening, we find a man by the name of Naaman. Amen. And Naaman wanted something really, really bad. Amen. He had a lot already going for him, but the Bible says that he wanted something really bad. He wanted a healing. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the kings of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Amen. Naaman was a great man, but he had a little problem here. The first problem that he had was that he knew that he was a great man. Amen. He knew just how good he was. Praise God. And he had one other little problem, and this one maybe wasn't as important, but it was. You see, Naaman was a leper. Amen. And leprosy in those days equated to a death sentence. Amen. It equated to being distanced and cut off and put away from other people. Amen. Nobody wanted to be around a leper. Amen. Nobody wanted to be around this leprous man. So this man Naaman hears about the prophet of God in Samaria. And he heard that this prophet could heal his leprosy. And so he goes with a letter from the king of Syria. And he goes with some housewarming gifts. Amen. He brings some presents. He just wants to make sure that this all works out in his favor. Amen. Verse 6 says, And he brought the letter of the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? This king of Israel doesn't know what to do. He said, Why did you send him to me? Amen. He goes on to say, wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He's basically saying, he did this to pick a fight. The king of Syria sent this man to me because he wanted to start a fight with me. Amen. He doesn't understand why you would ever send a leper to the king of Israel, because the king of Israel knew that there was nothing that he could do for Naaman. Amen. Amen. And it was so, and he basically, the Bible says that he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, and he wept, and he called out. And verse 8 says, and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you rent your clothes? What's the big fuss all about? Why are you so worked up, king? Let this man Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Amen. We know this story. Amen. No doubt Naaman was feeling pretty good right now. Amen. He had found the prophet that he had been foretold of. Amen. He was in the right place now. Amen. He had found the prophet, and being that he was a captain, amen, and he was an honorable man, he would obviously get right in to see the prophet, and he would probably get his healing and be on his way home by dinner time. Amen. Verse 10 says, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He got mad. Amen. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand. He's going to do this magic trick. He's going to wave his hand over me. Amen. And the leprosy is going to be completely gone. Amen. That's what Naaman had it already figured out before he ever got there. Naaman had it already figured out before he ever stepped before the prophet's house. Amen. I wonder how many times we come to the house of God and we've got it already figured out how God's going to work something out. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. This man, Naaman, thought that he knew how it was going to work out. Elisha the prophet didn't even come out to see him, and he didn't. And to make matters even worse, amen, he gave Naaman a message to go and wash in the nasty, dirty Jordan River. Amen. Why would he do something like this? Does he know who I am? Does he know how honorable I am? Does he know my position? Why would they do that to someone like me? But Naaman was missing the big picture here. Amen. He had just been told how to receive his healing. Naaman had been told how to get what it was that he was fiending for, what it was that he was desiring. Amen. He was just letting his pride get in the way. Amen. Amen. How bad do you want it, Naaman? Amen. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want that healing? Amen. How bad do you really want it? You traveled all this way. You went all the way here. Amen. And you went before the king, and then you went before the prophet. Well, before the prophet's house. Amen. And his messenger told you what you wanted to hear. Amen. But you weren't content. Verse 12 says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He said, I've got rivers in Damascus. Why did I have to come all the way over here? Can't I just wash in those rivers and be clean? Amen. And the Bible says that he turned and went away in a rage. He got mad. Amen. He got upset. Naaman was willing to leave the same way that he came, with the same problem that he came with. Naaman was willing to leave without getting what he so desired so very much. Why? Amen. Because it didn't happen like he thought it should. Amen. Because it didn't happen the way that he wanted it to. Because it wasn't easy. Amen. Because it wasn't instant. Amen. Because he actually had to do something to obtain his healing. Amen. I wonder if any of us have been guilty of the same thing. We come to church, and God speaks to us. Amen. He ministers to us through the preaching of His Word, or while we're praying, or He gives us a word through somebody. Amen. Whatever the case may be. Amen. And we hear from God, but it isn't what we wanted to hear. Amen. We say, God, I'll give you whatever you desire. God, I'm not going to hold anything back from you. And God says, okay, I want this. And then we say, oh, well, I didn't mean that, God. I mean, you can have anything but this one thing. Amen. When we pray, when we come to God and we say, God, whatever it is in my heart, search it out. And if it's not right, God, I'll take care of it and I'll get it out. And then God begins to speak to you through the preaching of the Word, or you read a scripture and you get convicted in your heart. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe not everything, God. Amen. Maybe I'm not willing to give it all up. Amen. Maybe I'm going to hold on to this little thing. Amen. Or maybe that's not the way I thought it was going to work out. Amen. But how many times have we come and we've heard God speak to us, and it's not what we want to hear, or it's not the way that we want to hear it, and so we leave the house of God the same way that we came, only angrier. Amen. We leave the house of God. We were in a good mood when we came to the house of God, and we storm out the door. Amen. And we're upset, and we start, you know, slamming doors closed, and we start getting upset at everything. Amen. Because things didn't happen the way we wanted them to happen. Amen. Well, last time I checked, God's still in control. Amen. And God still knows better than I do. His ways are higher than my ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Praise God. God knows better than I do. Amen. And He knows what I need to hear. Amen. And if I don't get it the first time, He gives me, by His mercy, He gives me an opportunity to hear it again. Amen. Why would we leave the same way we came? Because of pride? God forbid. How bad do we want God's will? Amen. Do we want it bad enough to swallow our pride? Do we want it bad enough to swallow our own self-importance and our own self-understanding? Amen. And our own flesh and our desires. Do we want God's will that bad? Amen. I've seen it time and again. People come to church, new people, and they come and they hear the Word of God. And you can tell when somebody wants the Holy Ghost. You can tell when somebody's hungry. Amen. When they desire whatever it is that God has for them. Amen. They don't need an altar call. They don't need somebody to hype them up. They don't need somebody to say, okay, now it's time to come to the front, and now we're going to pray, and now is the time that you can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. God convicts them, and they begin to lift their hands right where they're sitting, or they begin to make their way up to the front. Amen. Whatever the case may be, and God fills them right then with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've seen God do it. I've seen God fill people while they're sitting in their pews. Amen. Because they had a hunger and a desire for God. And no matter what it cost, and no matter who was watching, and no matter what it took, they were going to get a hold of God that service. Amen. I've seen people that need the Holy Ghost that made up their mind before they came to church that particular service. Today's my day. This is my service. I'm getting the Holy Ghost today. Amen. And God fills them with the Holy Ghost. God honors that. Amen. God honors it when we have desire. But you can also tell the ones who have a take it or leave it type of attitude. Amen. These are the ones that rarely are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Or they're rarely renewed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's because you've got to want it with everything that you've got within you. Amen. The Bible says, and Jesus was talking to His disciples. Amen. He said, if my disciples hold their peace, these rocks are going to cry out. Amen. I'll tell you, when I come to the house of God, I don't care what anybody else is doing. If nobody else is going to clap their hands, if nobody else is going to lift their hands unto God, nobody else is going to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give Him praise, because I don't want somebody else taking my place. Amen. I don't want somebody else taking my place. I've got to praise in my lips for God. Praise God. Amen. Verse 13. It says, and His servant came near and spake to Him. Thank goodness for a voice of reason. Amen. And He spoke to him and He said, my father, if the prophet had bid thou to do some great thing, amen, if he told you to go to war and kill 1,000 people, amen, wouldn't you have done it? Amen. How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Amen. He didn't tell you to do some outlandish, crazy type of thing. He didn't tell you to do something that you're not capable of doing. He just told you to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman, even though he was a mighty man, he was not going to be healed unless he did it God's way. Amen. And we can get a hold of that tonight. Amen. If we're going to do it our way, we're not going to get the blessings of God. Amen. If you or I are going to receive something from God, we're going to get it by doing it God's way and not our own. Amen. We've got to get ourselves, we've got to get our own agendas, our own plan out of the way long enough to say, God, whatever you desire, I'm going to do it. Whatever direction you have for me, God, I'm going to go. Amen. It's God's way, not our way. Amen. Amen. I often pray that, and I'm not trying to lift myself up, but I pray, God, I want to decrease so that you can increase. I want this life, this body, if you will, I want it to be less of me, God, and more of you. Amen. And I fall short, and I admit that. Amen. Every one of us does. Amen. But God desires for us to seek for that. Amen. To get our flesh and our pride and our problems and our situations out of the way so that His will can be done in us and through us. Praise God. Naaman was a mighty man, but he was going to miss out on his healing. Amen. Because he was going to do it his own way. He desired to do it his own way. Amen. But thank goodness for this servant. Thank goodness for the voice of reason that said, just why don't you just do what he tells you? Amen. You want a healing this bad? Here's your chance. If you want something that bad and you are given the opportunity, don't pass it by. Amen. God, I want a closer relationship to you. Oh, well, you're going to have to do this and this and this. Well, I don't know if I can do that. God just answered your prayer. Amen. If that's what you're desiring and God speaks to you, don't give up on that. Amen. Don't pass it by. Don't brush it off. Amen. But just listen to the voice of God. Verse 14 says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. This is what happens when we do things God's way. Amen. Things work out right. Amen. When we do them our way, they get all messed up. Amen. When we desire God's will, when we desire His plan, no matter how bad, no matter how hard, amen, no matter how bad it is, amen, we've got to want it. We've got to desire it. Amen. How bad do you want God's will? How bad do you want God tonight, church? Amen. Let's look at another example. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. Turn there with me this evening. Luke 8 and verse 40. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Amen. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went through the people, thronged him, or they gathered around him. Amen. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Amen. 12 years. Can you imagine that? You talk about desperation. Amen. If I get a cold for more than 2 days, I'm going to the doctor and we're saying we're getting this taken care of. All right? Amen. If I'm sick for more than a day, amen, I'm getting this taken care of. Amen. This is not sticking around. 12 years that this woman dealt with it. And she wasn't, it wasn't that she wasn't trying. Amen. She had spent her entire life savings, everything that she had, she had spent it trying to get out of this condition. You talk about desperation. Amen. If you're sick for 12 years, you're going to become desperate. Amen. This woman had fought with this issue for 12 years and no one had been able to help her. But she knew that if she could get to Jesus, she could be made whole. Amen. Amen. She knew that if she could get to Jesus, she was going to get what she so badly desired. Amen. And that was healing. Verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, or the hem of his garment. And that's a Bible study in and of itself. Amen. But immediately, it says, her issue of blood staunched. Amen. Or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and those that were with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng thee and press thee, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus, there's so many people around. How can you say, "Who touched me?" Amen. And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. She knew that she had gotten what she desired. She knew that she had gotten the healing that she needed. Amen. And Jesus told her, he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." This woman's faith drove her to desire. This woman's desire drove her to faith. I guess you could look at it either way. Amen. But it worked hand in hand. If this woman had not have been sick that long, amen, and had done so much to try to get rid of it, amen, if she would not have been so very desperate, amen, she might not have had that type of faith. She wanted her healing bad enough to do something about it. Jesus may not have always been easy to get to. Amen. There was always people around him and his disciples trying to protect him. Amen. Maybe she had to fight through a crowd. Amen. Maybe she had to push and fight and even crawl to reach him. The Bible says she touched the hem of his garment at the bottom, which tells me that she either knelt down or she was on her hands and knees when she finally reached Jesus. Amen. But she got her healing. She wanted her healing so badly that it was worth it for her to crawl, if that's what it took to get to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we have that type of desire to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Mark chapter number 10, verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Amen. This blind beggar knew that Jesus was his only hope. Amen. You see, there wasn't a cure for blindness. And they didn't have technology like we do today. Amen. This blind beggar knew that Jesus was the only hope that he had. And so when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. Amen. And you know what? I don't believe for one minute that it was dignified and that it was composed and that it was a calm and timid type of crying out. He didn't say, "Excuse me, Jesus, if I could get your attention, please. I'm sorry. I don't want to bother you. I missed out. Maybe next time." No, that's not how he cried out. Amen. He screamed at the top of his lungs. He didn't care if he had a voice left when he got done. He screamed, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Amen, with everything within him. Amen, and they came and they charged him. Verse 48, amen. It says they charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. When they told him to be quiet, he got louder. Amen, when they told him, "Don't say that," he said it even louder and even stronger. He said, "Jesus, I've got to get a hold of you. Don't leave before I get what I need." He probably looked crazy to those who saw him. Amen. He was doing something because he had to get the attention of those that were around him. He got the attention of the disciples. Like I said, so much so that they came and they said, "Oh, calm down. The master's busy. He's got stuff going on. Hey, just chill out a little bit. Amen. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. He said, bring this man to me. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus, who you were trying to get his attention, he heard you and he said, bring him here. Can you imagine? This man's heart probably started racing. He leaped for joy. Amen. Verse 50 says, and he, casting away his garments, rose, and he came to Jesus. And he probably just walked real slowly because he'll get there eventually. No, I don't care if he was blind or not. He probably started running as fast as he could. And maybe he stumbled and maybe he fell and people had to help him back up. But he had to get to Jesus because he knew in Jesus was the healing that he so badly desired. Praise God. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? As if Jesus didn't know. But he wanted to hear the man say it. He wanted to hear him. And he said, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. This is God. This is what I desire more than anything in this world. That I can see. God, this is the most important. I'm fanatical about this. I'm obsessed with this. When I knew that there was one that could heal, this is all I've been thinking about. Amen. This is the most important thing in my life. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And the Bible says he followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Amen. This man knew what he needed. Amen. And he was willing to do whatever he had to do to get it. One more verse as Sister Reed comes this evening. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Whatever it is that you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. Does that mean that if I pray for a brand new car, that God's going to give it to me? He can. Amen. Is that what you desire most? Amen. Well, I desire a brand new house, or a nicer, a bigger house. If that's what you desire, amen, when you believe, God can open that door if it's in His will and His time. Amen. But let's look at spiritual things. Let's talk about spiritual things. Whatsoever things you desire, God, I want more of you. God, I want a deeper relationship with you. God, I want to be able to feel your presence more. God, I want you to be able to use me in whatever capacity you see fit. Amen. What do we desire? What do we want more than anything else in this world? Amen. What is that? Amen. Do you really want a blessing from God? Amen. I've got my hand up. I want God's blessings upon my life. Amen. God's able. Amen. But if I want that blessing, how bad do I want it? Amen. Do I want a healing from God? Amen. If I do, how bad do I want it? Do I want it as bad as this woman or as blind Bartimaeus? Amen. That no matter what it cost, no matter what it took, I'm just going to get to the feet of Jesus and touch the hem of His garment. Amen. Do we want revival? Amen. How bad? How bad do we want revival? How bad do we want revival in our church? How bad do we want revival in our individual lives? How bad do we want revival in this city and in this area? How bad? How bad do we want God to pour out revival on Augusta? I know that there are people here that desire it more than anything. I'm not putting any doubt on anybody. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just asking us, how bad do we want it? Amen. I wonder tonight if we would be willing to become fanatical about these things. to become obsessed about these things. That it's all that we can think about. That it's the most important thing in our life. God, I want this. God, I desire this. Are we willing to become obsessed with these things and not let up until we see them come to fruition? Oh, well, God's timing. And I believe in that. I believe that there are seasons. I'm not downplaying that at all. There are absolutely seasons, and God controls all of that. Amen. But are we willing to keep pushing for it until it comes to pass? Or are we just going to keep leaving God's presence the same way that we came? Amen. Whatever it is, whatever is standing in our way, we've got to be willing to push and to fight and to crawl if we have to get what we desire from God. Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Amen. Let's sing a chorus tonight.